You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, September 21st, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. The Locked On NFL Draft podcast has relaunched. Eric Crocker brings the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoy this show, this is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. We have new episodes each day, Monday through Friday. You should subscribe where podcasts are found. We'll deliver new episodes to your device each day as they're posted. And while you're at it, leave this show a five-star review. It helps us out quite a bit. On today's show, we are going to talk about the questions that have been raised by the first two games of the 2021 season for the New York Jets. And these are questions that will be answered over the final 15 games of this season. It's amazing how quickly the NFL season goes by. 10 days ago, we were getting ready for the opener, and here we are. We are already more than 10% of the way through the season. That is different from any other sport. In baseball, you play two games, you're not even through the first series. Basketball or hockey, two games, you have a long way to go. In the NFL, we're now in the season. It's not that early anymore. It's early, but it's not that early. And the Jets' performance has raised some interesting questions. And these are questions that will kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. And let's talk about some of them. And I think the first question begins at the quarterback position. And that question is whether Zach Wilson is ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Because the Jets, through their actions this offseason, told us that they were 100% confident that Wilson was ready to be a quarterback in this league. And obviously, he had a terrible week two against the New England Patriots. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little rattled by Wilson's performance. It's not just that he was bad, it's that even the basic parts of quarterbacking seemed to elude him. And I don't want to begin drawing conclusions about the long term for Zach Wilson. It's still very early in his career. But in the short term, I do think that there's a question that's going to have to be answered over the next few weeks, and that's whether Wilson should be in the lineup right now, because there is more than one way to develop a quarterback. Not every quarterback plays week one. Not every quarterback plays as a starter for their entire rookie season. There are teams that bring in a credible veteran alternative and buy their rookie quarterback some time to learn from the bench, learn on the practice field. The Jets did not do that this year. The Jets did not bring a credible alternative to Zach Wilson. And that has had a number of impacts on this team. For example, if anything ever happens to Wilson, it's going to be ugly. And that's on Joe Douglas. That's on the general manager. That begins at the very top. But beyond that, there are some other residual issues, such as when Wilson's really struggling against New England. I think if you have a credible alternative off the bench, you can sit Wilson down for a little bit, let him get his bearings and have a shot to win the game, because that was a winnable game for the Jets on Sunday. That was lost in part because they did not have anybody they could turn to. But beyond that, I think there's a question. Should Wilson be starting? And look, in some ways it's an academic question. In some ways it's more a question that will tell us about the competency of the front office, because Wilson's got to start. There's no alternative. They can't put Mike White in to start these games. The question is whether the front office was right or wrong, and that's a question that cuts to how good these guys are running the team. Do these guys know what they're doing? Because they essentially, through their actions, gave you a 100% guarantee Zach Wilson was ready to be a quarterback in the NFL. And Wilson could calm a lot of nerves on Sunday, including mine, by going out and playing a good game against a very high-caliber defense in Denver. But I think the first two games, and there were some very good signs against Carolina. He shook off a rough beginning to that game. But I think you have to have some of those questions right now about whether the best thing for him is to be playing. And we'll find out over the course of the season. Again, it's a question. I'm not saying that the answer is definitively no. I'm saying this is a question we'll find out the answer to. Now, on a more positive note, I think another question is whether the cornerbacks can continue their strong play. And I don't want to overrate the performance of the corners so far, because the Jets are playing a scheme that is not that cornerback dependent. In fact, in some ways, the scheme the Jets have played through the first 2 weeks makes life easy on cornerbacks. And I guess we kind of could have expected that heading into the season, because it's not that just that the Jets made a minimal investment at the position. They made no investment at the corner position this offseason. They went into this season with a bunch of late-round undrafted guys in their first and second seasons in the NFL. It looked like a major vulnerability, but part of the reason you do something like that is when you're running a system that's not that corner-dependent. You know, if you're Rex Ryan and you're playing a lot of man coverage, you're going to want corners who can man up against the best receivers in the NFL. You're going to want Darrelle Revis and Antonio Cromartie. Whereas if you're playing a system like Robert Saleh is playing, you're not asking a lot out of your corners, which means you don't need guys who are as talented, and you don't need to spend as much, because there are lots of corners out there who can do minimal work effectively. Now, this has its limits, and that's one of the things I was worried about heading into the season. Even if you're dealing with a defense that doesn't ask a lot out of its corners, at some point there's a talent threshold that needs to kick in. You cannot put me out there and expect competent corner play in the Jets system. But so far, the Jets have gotten away with it. And maybe not just gotten away with it, they've played effectively. The guys have tackled well, and that's going to be one of the keys in this system, because I don't think you're going to see a lot of press coverage during the season. I don't think you're going to see a lot of receivers being challenged at the line of scrimmage by these Jets corners, which means open throws are going to be open, or open throws are going to be there underneath. And that means those guys need to get up and tackle. And you've seen the Jets corners tackle effectively. And they're also going to be needed in the run game. It's going to be a heavy zone system. Well, if you're playing zone, your corners need to help in run support. It's not like man coverage. In man coverage, sometimes your corners can get run off. And I'm over-exaggerating here. You still want your corners to be able to help in run support against man coverage. But in this system, it's really important for the corners to tackle. Relatively speaking, this is a system where your corners have to be able to tackle, and the Jets have done it well. They've avoided, generally speaking, they've avoided the crushing passing play. There was the one Robbie Anderson touchdown in week one against Carolina, but that was more on Sheldrick Redwine, the safety, not the corners. You know, they've done their jobs. You're not expecting all pro play out of these corners. What you're expecting them to do is perform their roles adequately and prevent the crushing play against your defense. That you're expecting them to execute their assignments, and you're expecting them to tackle. And so far, they've done all these things well. Can they continue? Well, a lot that may determine how successful this defense is going forward. The Jets are certainly betting on these corners to continue playing effectively. And you should know, if you want to bet, Bet Online is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, talking about the big questions that have been raised for the New York Jets over the first two games of the 2021 season. These are questions that will presumably be answered over the final 15 games of this season. My next question is whether the Jets are going to get this wide receiver position sorted out, because there have been some very strange developments in the early part of this season. And there's been some bad luck. Keelan Cole missed the first game. He did not get a ton of playing time in the second game. Jamison Crowder has missed time. He was on the COVID list. He's apparently dealing with a groin injury. As these guys get healthy, things will probably begin to sort themselves out a bit. But it's been odd. Heading into this season, it looked like this was the deepest position on the team, the best position on the team. Maybe you did not have the Davante Adams go-to type of guy, but looked like there was lots of talent. And this was a rough game against New England. You know, Zach Wilson did not play very effectively, but it's not really clear what's going on with Denzel Mims. It certainly does not seem like the coaching staff likes him very much. And there's lots of questions about why he's not playing, and there are all sorts of rumors there, and you wonder whether Mims is going to be on this team for the long haul. I mean, if he's inactive in a game where Crowder's out, I mean, if he's playing three snaps in a game week one where Cole and Crowder are out, you wonder whether he's going to be on this roster for very long. He could be the next guy to go, and it's always difficult to say because, you know, you look at Mims, he obviously has a lot of physical ability. That's why he went in the second round. That's why so many of us were excited, myself included. But, you know, sometimes things are going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And sometimes coaching staff just irrationally dislikes a player. I mean, it's difficult to, there's so much that's unknown about the Mims situation that it's difficult for me to weigh in to say whether the coaching staff is wrong or whether Mims is wrong. All we know is he's not playing right now, and the entire situation is kind of a mystery and honestly kind of a distraction because it's all anybody can talk about, it seems like, in this fan base. But beyond that, very odd how much of the Jets are using Braxton Berrios. And I hesitate to say this because I wrote an article yesterday about Braxton Berrios, about how the Jets are giving him 25% of the targets. I mean, that's like a DeAndre Hopkins number. That's like a Davante Adams type number. 25%. That's like your go-to guy. The Jets are throwing their backup wide receiver 25% of their targets. And oh my God, you would have thought I began World War III by suggesting the Jets should not be throwing Braxton Berrios 25% of their targets. This backup slot receiver who, you know, I don't even know what skills he's got. He's not that fast. He's not that elusive. His hands aren't that great. Like, I don't even know what this guy's bringing to the table. So, I mean, I hesitate to say this because I get the impression Braxton Berrios has a big fan base. He should not be getting 25% of the targets. They've been unproductive targets. He's averaging under 7 yards per target. He's converting, I don't know, around one-third of his catches into first downs in the NFL. Over 50% of receptions converted into first down. They got to stop throwing the ball to Braxton Berrios. I don't think that's a controversial statement. We're not talking Jerry Rice here. We're not talking Randy Moss here. We're talking Braxton Berrios. Stop throwing him the ball like he's DeAndre Hopkins. Listen, there's probably blame to go around. You look at the play calling. You look at the allocation of playing time. Wilson, I mean, you name it. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. Braxton Berrios needs to stop getting so many throws in his direction. And again, this will probably sort itself out to some degree because Crowder's going to get healthy. And, you know, maybe this is like the lesson that I needed to learn. Maybe this is like my version of A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life, because I spent a lot of the offseason saying maybe the Jets should get rid of Crowder. Maybe I needed to see Braxton Berrios get 25% of the targets so that I could understand how important Jamison Crowder was. And Jamison, I will never doubt you again. You are an important part of this team. Please help us not have Braxton Berrios get 25% of the targets going. No more Braxton Berrios, 25% of the targets. That's all I ask. But there are, again, bigger questions at the wide receiver position when you're talking Mims, when you're talking some of the other playing time allocations. So I think the entire position's kind of a question mark right now. And my next question is about the offensive line, because we've seen one very good offensive line performance and one very bad offensive line performance. And one thing I'm going to caution here is that sometimes people are a little too quick to come up with narratives. And there was one big change on the offensive line between week one and week two. And it happened during week one, but that was when Mekhi Becton got hurt. And I think sometimes people are a little too quick to try and draw conclusions because you see the offensive line play poorly week one with Becton. You see them play very well week two without Becton. And people tend to draw the conclusion, well, that must be the reason. Well, not always. Sometimes there are external factors. But it is kind of striking to see the offensive line's performance varies so greatly between week one and week two. And I'm of the mind that it's probably not Becton. It's my question is more which is, represents the true caliber of the offensive line. And I'm hoping it's week two. And I think if you look at the talent level on this offensive line, this is not an offensive line that should be the worst in the league. This should not be the type of offensive line you saw in 2019 or 2020. There's some talent on this unit. Is it enough to make it like one of the elite offensive lines in the league? Is this like an offensive line like the Jets had in Rex Ryan's first two seasons or Eric Mangini's last season where you had four first-round picks on the line and you had Brandon Moore, who was an excellent guard? No. But it should be a credible line. And hopefully this group gels. And I think when Becton returns, hopefully that takes the performance up another level. And it's important because this is an offense that's very much based on establishing the run. It's a cliche, and it's an overused cliche. And most of the time, it's a cliche that has no basis in reality. In this case, it's actually true. This Jets offense is going to be focused on establishing the run and trying to take some of the pressure off Zach Wilson, creating easy throws for him. So Jets need to win in the trenches, and obviously you want to keep Wilson clean. They did a horrible job week one. They did a much better job week two. Which offensive line will we see most of the season? Of course, rebuilding an offensive line takes a lot of time and a lot of money, but you can save time and money when you're fixing your car or truck by using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could ever need, from brake parts to tail lamps, even new carpet. Go explore their website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Today we are talking Jets questions that will be answered over the last 15 games of the season. And we'll begin answering them this Sunday in Denver. You may be watching the game, but it's also near the end of the baseball season. You may be watching some action determining the outcomes of pennant races on another screen. Maybe you have your neighbors log in for something else. Well, I want to tell you a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports movies and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, talking about questions that I think have been raised by the first two games of the 2021 season and will be answered over the final 15 games of the 2021 season. The next question I'm going to talk about is whether Quinnen Williams earns a big contract. Statistically, the first two games have been very quiet for him. Now, I think there have been moments where he's been effective that hasn't shown up in the stat sheet, but is he going to be an impact player again this year? I thought last year he got off to kind of a slow start to the season, really came on over the second half before he got hurt. Now we're off to another kind of slow start, and after this season, Quinnen Williams will be eligible for an extension. Will he be the rare Jets player who performs and then actually sticks with the team? I think this is something worth watching. I don't want to cause too much alarm on Quinnen's play so far, but I think this is definitely a situation I've got my eye on going forward. Is he going to begin making plays for this team? This defensive line has had its moments the first 2 weeks of the season. Some guys are playing very effectively, like John Franklin Myers. Is Quinnen Williams going to begin making these impact splash plays? And the last question I have is simply whether progress will begin turning into wins. I think through the first 2 weeks of the season, despite the final scores, especially week two where the Jets lose by 19, you have seen progress, and it's been obscured a little bit. Now, the first half against Carolina was brutal. They played a terrible game. They came back, though, and played pretty well in the second half. And in game two, you kind of have to like view the game through two different lenses. The first lens is Zach Wilson. The second lens is everything else. Zach Wilson was really bad in this game, and hopefully he recovers. We talked about Wilson at the beginning of the show. But almost everything else was good for the Jets in this game, and although I would argue that frequently the quarterback gets too much credit when things go well and takes too much of the blame when things go poorly, this was the kind of game that shows you how significant the quarterback can be in the NFL, because the rest of the team gave a winning effort for the most part, and they lost by 19 because Zach Wilson really struggled. So even though you saw progress, people are frustrated. You look at the final score, you say, oh, they lost by 19. They're not making any progress. I'm not sure that's the case. I think that there were some very encouraging performances. You know, some of the units we talked about, the defense, the offensive line, there's things to like. And you just hope that, first of all, this progress continues, but second of all, it begins being reflected a little bit better by the scoreboard. And we'll see how that happens as we move forward to week 3 and beyond. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Tomorrow is our weekly mailbag, so please send in your questions.